Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
A safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Welcome again. It's April the 23rd, 2017, and here we are in the 9 to 10 p.m. time slot on Sunday night. And I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about this week, and I pretty much want to talk about just another facet of the more life or less life, more variety or less variety. And so I started writing out sort of the progression of what I wanted to talk about, and it went someplace pretty interesting. So this week has been another interesting, very connecting, a lot of new connections going on in my business, a lot of new challenges, and I welcome them all, and it's really fun to start a small business and just have, for some reason, a lot more persistence and just a lot of positivity and gladness and welcoming of every event, and just looking at every event as a gift and just having a lot of, having an immense amount of gratitude for being in the situation. As always, this is a live call-in show, and the call-in number is 646-564-9714. That number again, 646-564-9714. If you'd like to call in at any time and talk about your topic or add on to my topic or something like that. So what I wanted to talk about is something I've talked about in certain ways before. I'd like to talk about it again because it is the foundation of what I'm talking about. And the more ways we look at it and the more ways we understand it and the more times we pull it through our heads, we can be more well-versed in understanding it. And so basically right now we're in a regime, a political thought regime, which results in fertility decrease. And the relationship of that fertility decrease is not only external, it's also internal. And it also hangs a sign out to which souls are going to be attracted to come and play here. And so it's actually sort of our business advertisement, or here's the business going on. And my personal thought is that the folks who are controlling this fertility decrease know this full well, and they're basically advertising for people who will agree with their political goal. So if you don't agree with their political goal and you want to go in a different direction, maybe an emerging forest and folks who think like an emerging forest is the right place for you. So the fertility of plants in relationship to a soil, and farmers who don't just spray on nutrition and harvest plants under labels called conventional and under labels called organic, neither one of which I would call farming that much. I'm much more in favor of natural process farming. One of the parties I've talked about a lot is Bob Kennard, who is actually involved in building a soil. Now, of course, I'm going to get heck from farmers who are saying, well, I do that and I also spray. Please look at me as an ignorant soul who's seen many quote-unquote organic farmers who don't spray and have a very good result. But also, I do know that the spraying spraying gives you a lesser product. Spraying results in a decrease in fertility of the soil, and it doesn't result in the same product as having the full relationship with the soil and using the soil to build the plant's immune system, thus not needing to spray at all. So if you're building a soil, you are not in a position. I mean, some farmers are in a position where they're saying, well, I have to do annual agriculture, which means I have to disturb the soil, which means at some point all of the plants are going to die in the soil. That's also a temporary stage of farming. It is not the perma-agriculture or the permaculture that you want on the land or in your mind. You don't want a devastation of the fertility of the land or a devastation of the fertility of your mind at any point. So you wouldn't be going through a stage where you would actually quote-unquote harvest, as in pull stuff out of the ground. You would be looking for plants that would be permanently in the ground, whose roots would always be active in the ground. These are, of course, goals. This is, of course, a structure for social external and social internal change. So what we're looking at is you basically have a devastated piece of land, and you're saying, okay, I have to bring in not the more advanced plants, which require a lot of nutrition and are heavy feeders, because they're just not gonna survive in this wasteland. You have to bring in the pioneers. You have to bring some trees in. You have to bring what can survive in the desolate conditions that you're bringing it into, and you also have to possibly do some earthworks in order to retain and pool and have moisture sit on the land and soak into the land. So there's a lot of life that's going to spring up as a result of your activities, and there's a lot of life that's actually going to come to the surface and take down into the soil, or the newly forming soil, the organic material that you leave on top. So it might be seen as more effective to turn the soil at the beginning, but the strict model would say leave it to Mother Nature's earth movers, the earthworms and other critters like that, to come to the surface and grab the leaf or grab the bit of rotting vegetable and take it down with them to whatever depth mom wants it taken down to, and not some depth that we saw in a book that were the depth that our shovel or a double length shovel, if you double dig, takes it to, or have the bacteria take it down to the appropriate height underground that it's supposed to be down to, and that's the correct height for your climate, for your season, for your conditions for that day, et cetera, et cetera. So you have this desolate area. You are going to begin the journey toward a better fertility with, of course, pioneer plants being the ones that can survive and begin this pumping of water and sequestering of nitrogen and all those other things into the soil and begin the process of giving life and taking and being an aware being and leaving its organic stuff behind, which forms the mat, which forms the soil, that forms what needs to be there for the next generation of plants, because after a while, soil will actually become too fertile for the pioneer plants to survive, and they'll just naturally not be there anymore. So you would go from the pioneer plants to higher and higher tiers. So we are at a tier of thought due to, of course, the food that we eat, due to the vibe of how we interact with the world, and so what I'm talking about is you can look at the system of the Earth's ecosystem, and you can say, if I respect it and want to learn deeply about it and want to cooperate with it in every way possible, it's that philosophy of I value how you function, I want you to function at your best so that we as a community can function beyond our expectations. That's basically how we kind of think the world works, until we find out that the world works the present world that we live in stems from the philosophy of not wishing to see that, how things work, not wishing to work with how things work, which is the worship of ignorance and the lack of reward for people who actually say, oh, this is the way this works, we should be working with it this way. It's a philosophy of dominance and it results in non-function. It results in very, very little function in people, very, very little, and poorer function in plants. And plants just don't have, like, a level that's like 1 to 100, and plants can function between 1 and 100. Fertility in plants goes in stages, so we don't even know the maximum. The maximum just increases as we increase what's offered. So I believe that the maximum in all systems just keeps going. So where we are right now philosophically is we're in a decreasing fertile system because of the way it's being controlled, and the way it's seen, which is not the way it is that lesser and lesser amounts of reward is fought for and controlled by fewer and fewer people. So in the end, a tiny, tiny subset of the number of people, poor reward. Whereas if we all cooperated and all worked for the maximum functionality of the system, every single person would receive a larger bounty than the most rewarded parties under our present system. So, and what I'm saying might sound a little bit fanciful. I mean, why wouldn't you work in the way that everybody would get reward more over reward? And that's because then the parties who wish to dominate wouldn't be dominating. They wouldn't have a place. And so they would rather have a poorer reward and be able to be dominators than have a greater reward and not be able to be and not be able to follow their path. So as my favorite Rumi saying, out beyond the notions of right doing and the notions of wrongdoing, there is a field, I'll meet you there. Their goal and their path is certainly not wrong. It is something to be explored, but it is something to take a big, big step back from and say, oh, I see. This is how the world is being run. We're all receiving really, really a lot less than we could be receiving because we're being lorded over in this system. Therefore, the people who really believe that we should act in cooperation need to evaluate persons who are in control and ask themselves kind of a very simplistic question along the lines of, do we believe that we understand the mathematics of our situation? And that's why I like to really go over the fundamentals, because I really want to understand if I understand the mathematics of our situation, because if I do, then I am not in favor of the way things are being run or the way things can be run under the present type of system, under a government, and I'm looking for something to replace it. But not only that, I'm not in favor of following the philosophy of fertility decrease. I'm not in favor of following destruction of ecosystems, and that is what is in vogue, or that is what is being put forward and not for a little while, but for many, many thousands of years. So I'm not talking about a small change. I'm talking about a change outside of the philosophy that I have seen in my lifetime to a completely alien to myself within this lifetime, of course, but to someone, someplace, the same place, this place, but run in a different way, in a way that we're just not familiar with. So I'm interested in, and where I sort of stopped writing down what my thoughts were was when I came to like an inspirational moment, a moment where I said, oh, that's an interesting insight. And I'll start to explain my insight before the break, and then I'll get more into it after the break. So, like there are these two antithetical, polar opposite philosophies, fertility increase and fertility decrease, there's a polar opposite way in which to, environment in which to invest your time, or environment in which to work, or how to work, or something like that. And I'm not totally sure of how to explain this, but maybe it'll come to me as I get into it. So I believe that souls are infinite in dimension, and that they are extremely valuable to work with. So I would rather work with souls, I would rather interact with souls, and I would rather limit my interaction with soulless material and limit my time, hourly exposure to being in a soulless environment. And here's why I think that. Because the degrees of freedom of reward, I believe, are directly proportional to the number of facets of experience in a soul, and also the number of souls that you're working with. So if you're working with a few or a good number of very experienced souls, and you're really getting into something, there's a lot of reward and there's a lot of unanticipatable inspiration and newness that can come out of that. Whereas if you're just working in an environment that's completely dead, you're working by yourself, you're reading some material, or you're working with a computer, or your computer programming, or something like that, you are certainly an infinite soul, but you're working without those other degrees of freedom. You're working in a, I would call it, you're working, you might symbolize it by saying, okay, you're an infinity, which is, you know, you could symbolize yourself with an infinity, and then, but you're working in an environment that's like a plus one or a plus 10 static dead environment. Whereas if you're working with a large number of souls, you could look at that and symbolize it as infinity times, you know, infinity plus or some modifier grouped with another set of infinities. And if you're working with plants, of course, you're working with a host of other infinities. If you're working in a farm setting, you're working with the entire landscape. You're working with all of the parties in the ground. You're working with all of the parties in the air. You're working with all of those infinities. So that's a much more incredibly rich experience environment than is sitting in a cubicle working for a software company. This is the genesis of what I want to propose. So I think I sort of explained what my thoughts are, and after the break, we'll get into it a little bit more. So I'd like to play my favorite song, which is Dog the Bard, Green and Gray. See you after the break.
The priest, he said, I was Lord of Animals. let it be evil is where it lies in the hearts of man. But you lead us, or you tempt us, to rape, to steal, to kill. The piper said, whatever happened to free will? Then the grove lay empty, the priest told no one. The blossom lay upon the thorn, and the piper's tune was done. And in the sunlit forest, the animals they bowed, as the piper laid his goddess down. For I'm no devil, I'm fallen.
To International Pagan Radio, you can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to An Emerging Forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, that was a good break. Welcome back, everyone. So we're discussing this idea of fertile environment versus dominant environment. More rewards for all instead of more and lesser rewards for even fewer, all coming from the philosophy of an individual or a set of individuals. And then I was talking about, toward the end of the half hour, I was talking about the environment in which you would be working, or which you would choose to work, or which you can choose to work now, and where the rewards are, but not necessarily where the rewards are, but where the potential is for multiplying your effectiveness. And so you can multiply your effectiveness by just looking at, okay, you yourself are an infinity of possibilities, and that what you would want to do is you would want to work in an environment, or you would want to work with an environment and with other partners who are also infinities. So, I mean, maybe I can explain myself by looking around my bedroom, quote, studio that I'm broadcasting from. And all of the objects in my studio at the present time have been processed, and they don't have have a soul anymore. The only things that are still unprocessed are about 30 or so bananas over there in my bookcase that are getting ripe. So this is the environment, you know, the plastic coated laptop, the cell phone, the dishes, the supplements containers, your notebook, your backpack container, plastic container of soap, books and whatnot are certainly the walls, the mirror, the lamp, the torchiere lamp, the bunk bed that's above me, things like that are all fixtures of various frequencies around in people's homes, but they aren't sold. And so my environment here is a particularly unlively one, whereas maybe being outside in the forest or something like that would be more lively. But I'm working with a medium, and I'm connecting to other people through my medium, from people listening both live and hopefully down the line after the program is recorded. So I am stepping into that unknown potential. And also, I do have these thoughts recorded in perpetuity, which is one of the big reasons why I do it at all in the first place. So the other way to do that is another way to look at that is basically to say, how can I look at investing and say, if I'm going to invest in souls, I should be investing in improving the quality of life of other people. And that's one of the things that I've designed for myself in my business. I do a produce club. I allow many more folks than would have access to organic fruits and vegetables to have access to them because of the price that I sell them at, much lower than grocery prices. So I am working in that business with an equation that's got a multitude of infinities in it, which is one of the reasons why I think it's taking off so well. Also because I've designed it to give them a really good product. It's designed in such a way that people are happy with it because it's just, you know, lesser in cost than a system designed by people who have a different philosophy, like the ones we discussed, the philosophy of dominance. So I think I've explained what I wanted to explain tonight. And for the last part of the show, until the top of the hour, I actually want to give I don't want to depart from the discussion of fertility, because I probably never will depart and probably can't depart, regardless of what I'm talking about, from the same topic of improving fertility or discussions about fertility. But I'd like to talk about and give a preview of next week's show. And on next week's show, I'm honored to have a young lady who is now living in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. Her name is Jenny McClintock, and she'll be on here to talk about one of the most well-known, at this point in time, substances causing a decrease in fertility, which is the pesticide called Roundup. So she is the person who holds down the Facebook page Ban Roundup in Pennsylvania, and she's also someone who's pretty knowledgeable on Roundup. So what we're going to be doing is we're basically going to be starting a starting sort of an overview program about Roundup. Roundup is, like all of these topics, is an incredibly dense, has a lot of literature written about it. One of the things that I know is that about 3 ounces of it, or 80 milliliters, if it is ingested by a standard adult-sized person, has been enough to kill a person. It is in pretty standard references that are available on the internet as an avenue of suicide in Asian countries. So it is lethal stuff. It is nasty stuff. It is advertised, of course, by its purveyor, Monsanto, as being of the same safety as water, but of course none of the lobbyists or none of the persons who are challenged from Monsanto to drink it, well, they just look at you and you say, "What, are you crazy? I'm not going to drink that stuff." Well, of course they're not going to drink it. It's incredibly toxic. So it's very interesting to look at the mathematics of the, to look at the, I mean, I discuss this topic or say these words called mathematics. And what I'm actually talking about is the mathematics of ideas, or the mathematics of ethical design, or the mathematics of not so much ethical design. I don't want to ever use the word ethical because that forces you to say good or bad. The mathematics of how you designed the outcome to happen. So if you design the outcome to happen where there's going to be a decrease in fertility, that's what Roundup is designed to do. So Roundup is a tool under the umbrella of decreasing fertility. So if you want to look at it that way, Roundup can take a piece of fertile land with a whole bunch of agents, aka little infinities that you could have worked with, and it will remove that potential for you to be able to invest your time in that dense atmosphere of seen, both seen and unseen, and known and unknowable reward. So, of course, as I progress in thinking about these things, and very much the same story, but it's also a deeper layer of how these things work and who we are and how. It's not how much power we have, it's that we want to have the wrestling match, that we actually want to have what we want, because at any time we can have what we want. It's just a matter of saying, I want to step outside of the philosophy given to us by the present masters, which is their priority is more important than our priority. And you basically say, no, I think my priority is of greater import to me than your priority. So pardon me while we have this wrestling match to see who's going to be shepherding this sector of land or something similar to that. So I was really pleased when I contacted Jenny a few weeks ago. and we've exchanged several emails back and forth. And she'll be on the 30th, which is 1 week from today, for an hour or something like that, talking about Roundup. I'd like to sort of dip into the things that I always talk about at least a little bit or toward the end or toward my sign-off every week, which is how important it is to challenge yourself and how important it is to leave at least a little bit of your week for things that either you're afraid of or that are your real passion but that you can't get to, even to have just 30 minutes of daydream about them. Because for some reason, I've sort of been allowed to pursue what I'm doing right now. And that's the thing that I see in front of me. I sort of have blinders on chasing my vision of an emerging forest. Right now, I'm chasing my vision of an emerging small produce club business. I'm eternally grateful to look back 1 year ago and even 1 year ago into the summer, and I'm just marveling at my own blockheaded determination. I don't know if you would call it just obstinance, stupidity, uncaring, or just this is what I'm going to do regardless of the outcome. I think it was this is what I'm going to do regardless of the outcome. And things started to turn around, and then I started to, for some reason, I started to set targets in my mind and said, this many days from now, I want to have this many participants. And setting those goals, for some reason, I've been able to achieve those goals. And just recently, just within the last 4 or 5 days, I've met some really good potential sort of like next level players, some farmers and some restaurateurs and some business owners who you look at it and you say, gee, I wasn't meeting them, you know, 6 months or 9 months ago. Of course, I wouldn't have been able to connect them to anything meaningful. But now that I have a network of folks, I can actually receive a call from someone who is a seller of seitan, S-E-I-T-A-N, which is a vegan meat substitute, which is made from wheat, and put his information in front of my small group of people, and actually have a lot of people come back and say, that is a really interesting product, or one person coming back saying, oh, I've had that product before. It's actually one of the best products on the market of that type. Actually, I think she said it was the best product on the market, and I was really pleased because that's what I want to sell in my group. So there's just all of these contacts that are happening for me. And I would do it even if the contacts weren't happening. I would do it. It's just what you're here to do or what I'm here to do. So I'd like to encourage everyone out there to immerse themselves in the most fortuitous of, albeit least trendy environment, the environment without the devices that are processed and more of the devices that are moving and tweeting and jumping about and having leaves on them and looking just like dirt, but of course it's very, very much alive with a huge number of souled beings. And for working like I do with the output of farming, which is and being around that environment. And one of the just unanticipatable rewards that I get if I get to buy 30 or 40 or 50 cases of produce, and I get to make up boxes for people of exactly what they ordered. And when I get a really good number of boxes of produce in here that I'm breaking down and making up specific orders from, it's pretty incredible. The rainbow of colors and the little pictures that are painted by those ingredients. And you get some oranges and some lemons and some red gala apples with a cabbage and a watermelon and maybe a box of spinach on top. And I don't know, maybe some more greens in there. Last week I had some beets with greens. So that was a purple and a nice green with a purple stem to go on top of that picture. So to me, that's one of the really inspiring points of the week. And also to have people come in when they pick up and walk out of here with produce that would basically be unreachable if it wasn't purchased here for them. They just couldn't afford it. Or to have someone come in last week and say, we always pick up here first and see what of all we ordered that you've gotten. And then I drop off back at my house and we go right up to the organic grocer and fill in the rest. But we shop here first because you have the best prices and frankly, they say the best snap in the produce, the shortest wait time between the when it was picked and when it's delivered. It's one of the other interesting insights that I'd like to leave you with sort of at the end of this program. I was listening to I can't remember what program I was listening to, but I was listening to delivery times of produce, and the local produce guy was saying, do you know how long ago the produce from California was picked? And he said, if we're not talking about apples or other things that are kept for a while, or bananas, which are kept for a while, the other produce that's picked in California is actually picked 2 or 3 weeks ago. So it's actually the nutritional value. Oh, it was over the weekend, or actually last Thursday night, I saw a movie at the Green Film Fest here in Collinswood called Prep Farm, which I recommend to if you want to see an interesting film. And they were talking about it takes the nutritional value. Once you pick something, the nutritional value just starts to go down after it's picked. And of course, the nutritional value, how much is the nutritional value gone down after 2 weeks versus where's the nutritional value of something that was just picked this morning or just picked yesterday? It's just now in your hand. So that's one of the great advantages of having and using local produce. So I'm really pleased to be making new contacts and reestablishing old contacts for produce, my local produce contracts here in the Southern Jersey area, an area of the United States which is really fertile and has a lot of farmers. One of the other interesting areas that I'm expanding into, and I'm just having conversations with one particular farmer, is crops that would never actually leave the farm because they're damaged. So the farmer looks at a crop and says, oh, that's damaged, and they wouldn't even think of having that product mature. They would actually just disc it under right then and there and start from scratch in that area, and that product that took, I don't know, 4 weeks or 6 weeks to grow would just never get used. It's gone to waste. So I'm very interested in getting the true seconds, not the seconds that I see, which is basically like slightly dinged fruit and things that have gone over the gate, but something that's actually a number two for cause, not that badly damaged, but it's damaged beyond the number one that would get on the truck and come and actually have part of it rejected as number two. So that's going to be interesting to address, even to dive even more deeply into the food waste issue than I've ever dove before. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this week's program. I certainly have. As always, at least for this little while, my name is Alan Ritter. My email address is RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook under Alan Ritter, the guy with the silly hat and who's eating the purslane. I'm on LinkedIn with the same avatar with the purslane in my mouth. And I have a produce club that serves the southeastern Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey area. It can be accessed. It's on Facebook right now, but it can be accessed by going to produceclub.us. And I also have, for people who are outside of that area and still want to see the experience that we're having with the Produce Club, I have another Facebook page called Produce Club Americas. I also have a page for my tutoring business called Alan Ritter, or Tutoring by Alan Ritter. That's on Facebook, but of course you can email me about tutoring as well. So thank you so much for listening. Please, please tune in next week for Jenny McClintock's discussion, interview with me, and discussion about Roundup. It should be a very interesting program. So thank you so much for listening. I hope it was an interesting hour. And have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.